Welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we're taking a look at a special series of broadcasts considering three questions, challenging those that listen to these three questions. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for Him to appear? Are you ready for the end of this world? Are you ready for your judgment? We want to challenge folks, and we believe that the end of the age could be very near. We believe that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ could be very near. It could be another 100 years, another 1,000 years. Only those things are known by the Lord. We don't look to be predictors of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do know that it could be at any time. We don't believe that there's anything that would restrict our Lord from coming. And so we're taking a look at different passages, not so much looking at prophecy of end time events, but just considering what the Scripture says about the coming of our Lord and the return of our Lord and those things that the Scripture says that He's going to do. And for each one, each soul, to consider, are you ready? Are you ready for that? If this whole world was gone, what would you do? Well, some would believe, say, well, if this whole world's gone, that means I'm gone. No, you're never gone. You've got a soul. You're not like a cow or a dog or a cat. You have a soul. Human beings have souls. Human beings are not animals. They're human beings. They're mankind, made after the image and likeness of God. A trichotomy of body, soul, and spirit. The body, of course, we see, and we live and we die, and that body is buried. The soul is what's really you, and I believe you look yourself in the eye, in the mirror, I believe you'll see your soul. There's no greater honesty than that. You know the truth, and God knows the truth. And then the spirit, that means by which in the creation and the Lord creating us, the spirit's that by which we can have fellowship with God. Naturally, our spirit's dead, and our soul and our body runs the show. We just do what comes naturally and what appeals to the flesh. But when the person is saved by the Lord, they're made alive. The Spirit of God lives within, and we have fellowship with God, with Christ, through Christ. And now, after the sinner is saved, the Spirit of the Lord that dwells within is to be in control. No longer the body, no longer the soul, no longer the heart, but the Spirit of God. And so are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord to return, and are you ready for these things of the soul to be reconciled? Are you ready for the end of this world? Are you ready for your judgment? A passage that we want to take a look at here, it's a challenge to those that are saved, and yet another mention that the Lord Jesus will return. And so we want to consider that in 1 John chapter 2, and the apostle is writing here, and he's spoken about antichrists, those that deny the Lord Jesus. He's talked about the lust, all that's in the world in verse 16, the lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And indeed, that is our natural problem. But we see this here in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 28. Let's take a look at this and consider this. He writes, "And now, little children, abide in him that is in Christ." That word abide, you live in your abode, right? So let us live in Christ. Let us live in him, not ourselves, not in the world. Indeed, we live in the world physically and literally, indeed. But let us live in Christ. Let us walk in him and with him and by him. Let us not be filled with the things of this world and the things that lead to excess and the things of this world, but let us be filled with the Spirit of God. And now, little children, abide in him. Listen, that when he shall appear, he's going to appear. The children of God need to live as if the Lord Jesus Christ is going to appear at any moment. What a shame it would be if you and I, who claim the name of Christ, who are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, what a shame it would be the Lord Jesus would come and appear and you and I would be off sinning against our Lord. What a shame that would be. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's going to appear. And wouldn't it be better, wouldn't it be great to see our Savior coming for us in the clouds, and we have confidence, they say, we would say, here we go. There's Jesus. We're on our way, as he's promised, and we're out of here, as he's promised. Wouldn't that be better, or would it not be terrible to be found sinning against our Lord and his eyes beholding us? Oh, we're going out of here. Indeed, if we are the Lord's and we're saved, he's rapturing his saints out of here. Those that are dead, as we've taken a look in the scriptures, they're going to be raised to life, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the clouds and be with the Lord forever. Whether we're being obedient and have confidence, or where we're sinning and are ashamed at the coming of our Lord, say, oh, Jesus has come. And here I am sinning against him. Here I am having failed him. Here I am having been disobedient against him. How will it be with you? How will it be with me? And now, little children, abide in him. See, if we're living in our Lord, we won't the impact of the temptation of this old flesh in the world will be not less. That's going to be there, but it'll be mortified. It'll be pinned down. It'll be comparing things up to what the Lord thinks and what the Lord wants will be helped and will be strengthened. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I want to have confidence before him. Not because of what I've done. Here I am, Lord, receive me for all I've done. No, but Lord, here you are coming for me. You've saved me. You've redeemed me. You've made me your own. And you've come for me. You died for me, and you've come for me. Verse 29, if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. He is righteous indeed, isn't he? It's by his righteousness that we're saved. That doctrine of imputation, where the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is placed upon the sinner that is saved, and the sin of that sinner has been placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, imputation. He is righteous. It makes it to where the sinner that is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, resting and trusting in his righteousness imputed to the sinner, it's by that that a child of God can be justified. It's a test of our righteousness. We have the righteousness of Christ. Indeed, we are justified, made just as if we'd never sinned. I am guilty. I am a sinner. I've committed wickedness and lewdness and sin against my God. In the eyes of God, my sin is terrible. But by Christ, I've been made as if I've never sinned before the Lord. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, he says, look at this for a bit. We don't use that word behold, but that word behold says, look at this. Muse upon this. Consider this. I mean, put your eye on this and think about this in your mind's eye. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. not just a servant, not just one of the staff, but the love of God has been extended to me and you that are under the hear of my voice that are saved, to the saints. The love of God has been extended unto us and the salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ and by his gospel being applied to us, his righteousness imputed unto us, the forgiveness of sins because of the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God has made this to where I'm not just a staff member of the throne room and the glory of God in eternity, but I've been made a son, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a stepbrother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people don't like that terminology, but I tell you what, it's wonderful to be adopted by the Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, because we are the sons of God, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The world rejected the Lord Jesus. The world rejected the Lord Jesus. And if we are saved by him and followers of him and the sons of God, would if the world did not know the only begotten Son of God, how would it ever know the adopted sons of God? Beloved, verse 2, now are we the sons of God. Don't think about it being a future thing right now. If you're saved, you're the son of God. The ladies would say, or some might say, well, what about the women? Are they the daughters of God? Well, in this life in a sense, but the eternal context of the Lord is that those that are saved, male or female, are the sons of God. There's nothing wrong with that. It doesn't take away from anything. But it's what the Lord has done and ordained. No one's less than another. Everybody's got their place that the Lord has made. Beloved, are we now the sons of God? And if that doth not yet appear what we shall be, we don't know how it's going to be when he appears. Right? Remember what he was said in the previous chapter? And now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear we might have confidence, not be ashamed for him in his coming. Beloved, verse number 2, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We'll be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And to be able to see him in his glory, we've got to have a body that can endure that. And where we were just at in 1 Corinthians 15, we didn't spend time on taking a look at that. You can go back and read that. We will have an incorruptible body like Christ, and we will be able to behold him in his glory. And we'll be thrilled to do so. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That word for, we can also substitute the word because. We'll see him. Because we'll be like him and we'll be able to endure it. Here's the challenge, child of God. And every man that hath this hope in him, a hope in him, hope in Christ, purifieth himself, the child of God, even as he is pure. Let's read it again. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Abide in him. Walk with him, be pure. Because child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And one day he's coming. And we'll see him as he is. I see that our time has passed. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.